San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
Welcome to It's Your Money and Your Life. We're coming at you with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. And if you download the app for 760 KFMB, you can hear us live there. And we also are on iTunes if you search the title of the show. And I typically introduce the co-host of the show, Richard Muzio, CPA extraordinaire at this time, and family office guy, of course, serving high net worth families. But he is at a family obligation tonight at a graduation of a very close family friend. So it's just going to be myself and 12 other guests. So it's not going to be a marathon. It's going to be a sprint. So pay attention. But it's going to be a great show because we're at the magnificent 6th annual Barry Goodnight Dinner. All right, we're back with It's Your Money and Your Life. We've got three more important guests from the Barry Goodnight Dinner tonight, the 6th annual, by the way. In this segment, we thought we'd focus on the drought. It's on everybody's minds these days, obviously. And we have at the table here Scott Murray, who's been a longtime local farmer with the Edge of Urban Farms up in Vista. Hi there, Scott.
Nice to see you.
And then BJ from Solar Rain, how do you say your last name?
Care, just like Care. I'm going to take care of you.
Okay, so the J is silent. BJ Care from Solar Rain is here, and then also Nick Palumbo from which vineyard?
Palumbo Family Vineyards and Winery in Temecula.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, that was easy enough. Wasn't a trick question. Anyway.
Never know.
Well, there's a little dog here. How about that? Anyway. Anyway, let's start with BJ. Recently, there was we should talk about Solar Rain a little bit and what you do. Do you want to talk about that? I mean, you provide water.
Yeah. So what we did is I'm an organic farmer like Scott Murray, and water is obviously an issue, and it has been for a long time. Not just recently. Even though now we're just talking about it, but it has been an issue for a long time. So had to come up with a way to make cleaner, better water in a more sustainable way, and what better place to look than the ocean? So that's what we do. We take ocean water. We basically mimic nature. We use solar thermal energy. We make clouds. We cool it down. We make rain, and that's it. We don't add anything to it. It just comes out the way Mother Nature, I think, intended for all of us to drink.
That's great. And you're up in Escondido, correct?
Yeah, Valley Center.
Valley Center. Okay, so there's been some recent articles up here that have appeared about periodicals, including NPR Online, saying that desalination may be the answer to the California's water crisis. Do you think so?
Well, I think that there are different options. I think we can either all stop having sex and not increase the population of the planet anymore, or we can do desal.
I vote for desal.
Okay. Well, isn't there?
I'll have cake.
There's other preventive measures, aren't there?
So yes, I think desal is certainly an option.
You're not going to run for president on that platform. I hope. Never stop having sex. Anyway.
So yeah, I think it's obviously an option, and there's more than 16,000 desalination plants around the world. But the problem with the desal plants right now,
who knew that?
Is that, and it may take away from some of your future questions, but they use a lot of energy, and they're not very efficient. There's a potential problem with the brine that they put back into the ocean. So.
Well, the one in Carlsbad, we spent $1 billion on that. It puts out how many million?
50 million a day.
50 million, yeah.
And how much does it cost to run, though?
I think it's maybe $27 million a year in power alone. So over the life, I mean, it's billions of dollars. So.
Wow, 26. Okay.
So the Solar Rain system, by the way, which is solar thermal, uses, I think our power bill is, our plant is $140 a month.
Wow.
Of course, we don't produce, a million gallons a day, but...
you got enough to live on, though.
But also, the desal plants that are around the world are about 50% efficient. Mm-hmm. Our efficiency is about 83%. Mm-hmm. So a lot more efficient. So there are other ways to do it besides the RO systems that they have around the world.
I'm drinking your water right now. It's great out of these little nice blue bottles. Is it available commercially? Or?
Yes, it's in San Diego, L.A., Southern California in general.
What stores?
Whole Foods, Jimbo's, okay. Obie People's Co-op, awesome. Restaurants, hotels.
Great. And I think we wanted to talk about one other thing here. There's three main concerns with desalination: extraction and potential harm to marine life, excessive fossil fuel and costs in desalination, which you talked about, and then the harmful effect to the waste with the salty brine. Are all those going to be game breakers for that, or will they find ways around those?
I mean, I think that the extraction process is easily solved. You just got to drill diagonal under the sea level so you can you can extract through the sand, the bottom of the ocean floor, and then it shouldn't be a problem. I know they've been experimenting with that with a new plant that they're planning on doing up in Orange County. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that as a big problem. The energy is obviously something that right now they're burning fossil fuels, polluting the planet, creating global warming, doing it. Mm. Our process is way better using solar thermal, but right. I think people will eventually come around. Actually, if you listen to Jerry Brown last night on KPBS, it was an interesting comment he had. Is that, back 100 years ago in London, they had a lot of problems with horse apples in the streets because of all the carriages.
Yeah.
But guess what? Then we invented the car, and that problem went away. And I think that's kind of...
What is the logic there?
Exactly. It's
kind of like... How do you like them apples?
Exactly. So it's kind of like, let's just wait and something better is going to come along. But that's why we have the problem right now.
Anyway, it looks like we're making some... I had no idea there were 16,000 desal plants. And I know Israel and the Middle East, they're pretty water secure, a lot of countries.
They
have to make the investment because the source is so limited. But let's turn to Scott here. From Edge of Urban Farm, is that your farm's name?
That's our farm's name. We're demonstrating how a very small farm can be very productive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the solutions. I think the challenge that we face is that everything we do, humans are 85% or more water. All the food we eat is 80% plus water. As a farmer, I sell water in fancy packages. And we just have to learn how to live within our means and improve our ability to use the water we have. In certain parts of Hawaii on the Big Island, people have cisterns. It's a very old-fashioned technology. They collect the rainwater off their roof to supply part of the water they use. Here in California, in 50 years, I predict that every building will have a cistern off of its roof. If they want to have landscaping, they'll use water that they collect. In the LA Times today, they had an article about the marijuana growers in Northern California. They've been devastating the environment, and now they're beginning to work with the Regional Water Quality Control Board to reduce their devastation of the environment. And one of the things that they've told them is they want them to collect enough water each year to get them through the summer without having to draw water out of the creeks. So they'll store that water. I know a farmer in Ukiah that grows apples, and he has a 13-acre farm, and he collects enough water this last winter to water his apple orchards for 2 years. That's the kind of thing that really makes sense. We have to rebuild the function of our watersheds. Our water challenge is a 200-year challenge in California. We have the opportunity to recreate the way we use water. We're seeing right now, for example, taking out parts of lawns. Golf courses are reducing the size of their fairways and landscaping with different plants. So we have other alternatives, but agriculture still will require water. People will require water. And so we have to rethink how we're doing that. That's what we're doing on our farm. Last little rain, off of one section of our roof, we collected 600 gallons of water in an hour of rain.
Huh.
And we use that to water all of our landscape plants.
Well, you better get more of them. I think there's an El Nino. Is there an El Nino coming? They're supposedly coming this year.
We have a very good chance. I was just telling BJ, I'm also a conservation official. And so I work with this every day in my volunteer job as an elected official. Right now, we're in the midst of drought. But we're also looking at this El Nino could bring us rains like we just had in Texas to end their 5-year drought in the area between Houston and Austin, where they had a huge amount of rain. Mm-hmm. We need to be prepared for the rain that's coming, and we should be collecting more of it in smaller areas mm-hmm. rather than huge reservoirs, which we can't build any more of.
Well, let's hope that there's a solution coming. Let's turn to Nick Palumbo from Palumbo Family Wineries, right? And
yes.
What part of the county are you in?
From my back porch, I can stare at San Diego County, but we're in Temecula.
Oh, Temecula. Which is, okay. Well, that's where all the wineries, right?
And we're an hour drive from where we're sitting right here in La Jolla.
Well, you're close enough. So. But how has the drought affected your business, and what changes have you made to adapt?
Well, you know, I'm in the wine business, so I'm bringing the glass half full. You know, it's here comes the good news. BJ mentioned that this isn't new. It's in vogue. It's in the news. It's everybody's talking about, and for good reason. But I found out a long time ago with my own vineyards. We're not just a winery. We are a full-functioning farm, self-sustaining. And, you know, we grow all our own grapes. So we're farmers first. And I found out a long time ago that by using RDI, regulated deficit irrigation practices, that we ended up with a better quality product.
Mm.
And, even before that, vines take a lot less water than just about every other crop out there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, don't ask me on the particulars, but I do believe and have read that vineyards take less water than homes per acre. That's the good news mm-hmm. in terms of the drought. I've been working towards using less water for a long time, and it just happens to make a better quality product. Which is really interesting, because if my job or participation in the sustainable wine growing program, which is statewide, part of our mission is to educate others to, if you use less water, it's cheaper and it's a better product.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Well, we're coming up on our next break here right now, but I wanted to thank Scott Murray with Edge of Urban Farm, BJ Kerr with Solar Rain, and Nick Palumbo, Palumbo Family Vineyards, for being our guests. We'll be right back. Get out there and enjoy the dinner, you guys. We'll be right back with more It's Your Money, Your Life right after this. Hang on.